Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. It's certainly good to be here. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Is it still going on? You don't? I'm not talking about the turkey. I'm talking about the Thanksgiving. Is it still going on? You know, Thanksgiving is not just a day. It's every day. We ought to give thanks every day. He's good. I want you to get this in your... Get this in your mind, in your heart. Listen to this. Thank you, Lord, for you are bigger than this, and you're going to make this benefit me. Now say that to me again. See, y'all think you're fooling me, but I interpret that. You know what the interpreter said? I forgot. It was just split seconds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you are bigger than this. And you're going to make this benefit me. Thank you, Lord. For you are bigger than this. And you're going to make this benefit me. You need to get that inside you. You may get a report one day. Thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than this. And you're going to make this benefit me. That's every day. That's not just on a Thursday in November. Because he is bigger than whatever we face. The Bible tells us over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always. That's one verse. Well, I love these short verses. I can memorize three of them in a hurry. Rejoice how long?
Always.
When? Always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's another verse. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Who knows the third one? And in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. When somebody comes up to you, I just want to know the will of God. Give him thanks. Right where you are, what's going on, give him thanks. Give thanks in everything. See, it said always rejoice. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. That's always. You know, and I like what Pastor John said this morning. He said, you mean to tell me you just stop to talk in the middle of your prayer? You know, that's what praying is, communicating with God is talking. You know, I got news for us. You're trying to confuse him sometimes. You show up in this other voice. Go find out who that is. You know. We try to posture ourselves in such a way that we get all stiffened up because we're going before God. We're his young'uns. And for those of you that's from the north, that means children. I'm not making fun. I love every people. Eileen's from Massachusetts. Is Eileen you here? Eileen? There you are. Yeah.
I still love you.
You still love... she still loves me. You know, her and Ron, her husband at that time, he passed away and went home to glory, but I'm telling you, he was a mighty man of God. It really was. Because he had this way to just make you smile. He had that joy that was contagious. But I heard him say to her one time, Eileen, get in the car. And I said to myself, what is a car? You know. And Ron sort of knew that, and he said, oh, get in a car. I knew what that was. Give thanks. Rejoice always. Rejoice how, when? Always, 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 always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks to the Lord. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. You want to know the will of God concerning you? Give him thanks in everything. 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 Some of our most difficult moments are some of the most beneficial moments in our life. We try to do away with them, try to fix them before they get here, and then we try to fix them when they are here. And sometimes we do that without ever being thankful in the midst of it. See, he never told us to be thankful for evil. That's just wrong, to be thankful for evil or an evil thing that's happened. Be thankful for that, but you can be thankful. He's his command. These are actually commands from the Lord. We can be thankful in it. You don't have to be thankful for what happened. You can be thankful in what happened. Sometimes when we need to rejoice, we need to express the joy of the Lord and not be bashful about it. See, if we respond just the way the world responds, they have no model on this earth to represent what Jesus is doing, because we are the church on this earth. We are the body of Christ on this earth today. Turn to somebody and say, you're part of the body of Christ. See, so if they're going to see Jesus, they're going to see him through his body on this earth. And we need to represent that and show that no matter where we are. See, if something tragic happens and you're just as, or we are just as messed up as everybody else and panicking, frantic, fearful, then we're just like them. See, the Lord wants us to get this so much inside us that no matter what we go through, I'm not saying we won't have those moments that we feel that for a moment, but we don't need to respond or react to what the enemy is either saying or react to what the enemy is doing. We should not live out of reaction to the enemy. We should live in response to the Lord while that is happening. That's a big difference. If we have no peace, then we can't give peace to other people. You can only give away what you have. See, what you know, you can tell somebody about, and your mind will reach another mind. They'll hear it. But see, we want to reach hearts. In order for me to reach a heart, it has to be in my heart. In other words, this is living. This is how we live. This is not just what we know. This is how we live. The whole world is looking for that. Your community where you live is looking for that. Looking for somebody that is genuine in their love for the Lord and genuine in their walk for the Lord and not religious. Not doing it out of form or not doing it out of something that is just... It's a duty. See, it's not a duty for me to come to church, to come be with you. It's a desire. It's a desire to be here. How about you? You feel the same way? It's a desire. You desire to be with God's people. So God tells us about this in Thessalonians, that this is the will of God concerning us in our lives. But when we need to put that in connection with Romans 8:28, if you'll go there, Romans 8:28. And he says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. See, so many times we quote that and we start with all things work together for the good of those who love God. How many of you know that a lot of times we do that? All things work together. Now, that's not the complete verse. What do we leave out? And we know, or for we know. For we know. And that knowing is not a knowing that you heard something and you repeated it. That knowing means that you, in the Greek, it is you see and you experience this to be the truth. You have seen and you have experienced what is about to be said is true. And you can validate it because you see it and you've experienced it. So he said, you see and you know by experience that God causes all things. Now, man, he says all things. And up here he said always, without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything. Then he says, in Romans he says, and we know that God causes all things. See, these verses work in concert together, which many, many, many of them do. But in order for us to be able to fully understand giving thanks in everything, we have to understand Romans 8:28 as well. Because everything, have you know that some part of everything is coming? Some part of everything is going to visit your life. Some part of everything, it all won't happen to you, but some part of everything's coming. Some will be great. Some things will be absolutely great. Some things won't be so great. Some things will be tragic. Some things will have pain. But see, we know because I've seen it before and I've experienced that whatever it is, even if it's painful, he is going to turn this and make this work for my good. Well, that's powerful. You know what it starts shutting down? Complaining. Murmuring. And for Southerners, cussing and a fussing. It'll shut it down. Y'all know what I mean? It will shut it down. Why? Because we know. We have seen and we've experienced that no matter what's touching my life right now, God is causing that very thing to be to my benefit. Why is that? Because he says, I'm called according to his purpose because I love God. See, this thing about works to the good means to benefit you. That's what we said, benefit you. Who love God. Now, you need to understand this about who love God. Because we can say we love God. How many of you have ever said we love God? And you didn't do what he wanted you to do. Raise your hand again. Okay, all right. You don't do it all the time. But see, this thing about loving God is not you and I working that love up. Why is that? Because you can't do it. You can't work that love to a place that you love God. You may love him in a different way. You love him, phileo is another Greek word for love. You may love him as a friend. You know, you may, phileo, friendship love. You may love him in order to get something. That's eros love. I'm only going to say I love him because I need something from him. That's love, and we can do that to our spouse. We can do that to other people because that love has a hook in it. Whenever I throw out that eros love, I throw it out and it's got a hook in it. The reason I'm throwing it out is because I'm wanting something in return. Y'all hearing me? That's not this word. You know, he didn't tell you to love God so you can get something. So he's in the middle of bending our hooks that, okay, the only reason I'm giving is in order to get. So that has a motive that only benefits me. So how many of you love to fish? Come on, man. How many of you love to fish? You know, you love the fish, but you're not loving the fish. Because you're throwing a hook that's baited. But you love fishing. But see, our love for people cannot be with a hook. It can, but it's only given to benefit you. This love here is the agape. It's agapeo. The love without conditions. No, whatever you do with it, you want to do with it, but I'm going to keep on loving you no matter what. I'm going to keep on loving you no matter what. And that's God's love. We can mistreat him. We can mistreat his creation. We can reject him. We can do all kinds of things that doesn't represent our true love for him. That kind of love anyway. So he's in the process sometimes of straightening out our hooks. So when we do cast it out, we're not expecting anything in return. How many of you have ever been loved that way? You've been loved that way by God, so you may as well go ahead and raise your hand. God's loved you that way. We might not get that from humans, but that's what we're supposed to give to them. A love that doesn't expect something in return. You know, we can witness to people with a love with that eros. The only reason I'm witnessing to you is because I want to say that I brought you to the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? That just benefits me. The motive behind our giving love is huge. What I love about this passage is he said all of this stuff that happens to us, he can make it work to our good, to our benefit. But those who love God. And I'm like, God, I love you. Can I share something personal with you? I remember a time early on in our marriage. We've been married 54 years. Y'all probably didn't see her. She went, whew. No, she didn't do that. See, In the early part of our marriage, we didn't do so good. We had up and down transitions and all that kind of stuff, and I had to come to the realization of where I really was in my marriage. And I had to confess something to Brenda that I didn't really want to confess, but it was true. And I told her this, I don't love you, but I didn't stop there. I said, I don't love you the way the Bible says that a husband should love his wife, to lay down his life. And I said, but I'll give the rest of my life to learn how. Does that make sense? I'll give the rest of my life to learn how to love you without having anything in return. I'll give the rest of my life to learn how to do that. And I'm still learning. See, this thing about this love is this. It's not a love that you have to come up with. It is his love that he's already given you. The The Greek word for that is in the passive tone. Passive tone. But by the way, it was a piece of lint that was on my nerves, so that's just like, you know, get behind me, Satan, you know. It's just me. It's what me do. So this thing about this love is it's passive, which means you are being moved upon from an outside source. Got it? Because we love him. We're being moved upon with his love by him. Being moved upon by an outside source. It's God's love that he is moving on me with to be able to love him back. That's powerful. Because it means I don't have to come up with it. I just have to yield to it and let his love, his unconditional love for me, love him unconditionally. Do you know that we can love God with conditions? I love you if you do just do this. Y'all know what I'm saying? If you just do this. But see, he moves for our love to be genuine as his. He moves upon us as we yield to it. We love people. We love him. We love the way he's supposed to be loved. Even in we didn't come up with faith. How many of you just came up with faith on your own? No. See, he gives us a measure of faith. He's given each one of us a measure of faith. The faith that we have is his faith. So we came up with nothing. All we did was surrender. See, we didn't have to work it up. We didn't have to work for it. We just surrendered. And, you know, for the rest of our life, that's what we're supposed to do. Just surrender. He wants us to go, just surrender to it. It'll work out. This thing about, because we love him, and we're called according to his purpose. So you have a calling of purpose, his purpose in your life. He has a calling for your life, and it's his purpose. And what is that? Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he knew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. You'll know his purpose for you? To become conformed to the image of Jesus. He's making a masterpiece in every one of us. And you know the masterpiece is the master. He's making us like Jesus. It's like a sculptor that has this great block of granite, and all of a sudden he's going to chisel out a horse. And I remember one of Leonardo da Vinci, I think it was him. Somebody asked him, he was chiseling on a piece of marble, and I think he was doing like a Trojan horse, I think. But somebody asked him, said, what do you know to chip away? How do you know where to put the chisel and how much force to put on the hammer? And how do you know how to do that? And he said, I just move everything out of the way that doesn't look like a horse. So he already sees the horse in his mind, and that doesn't look like a horse. So we're being perfected by the Lord. In our spirit, we're already perfect. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. But down here, we're being perfected. He's chiseling away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Oh, I'm glad of that, aren't you? All of a sudden you're at the red light and you've been at the red light through three runs. And you see the horn in front of you, and you really want to bear down on it. You really just want to, all of a sudden, that don't look like Jesus. So he chisels away these things and said, and then all of a sudden, instead of thinking about it, we do it. He says, that doesn't look like Jesus. I'm going to think I'm going to chip that away. Because it's a realization of seeing us how we truly are. But he doesn't do it to condemn, nor to shame. He does it to show us where we really are and how he wants us to change. Boy, I love him, don't you? He never shames you. Never. If he brings something up to the surface, you know, it's like the smelter over in Malachi. You know, he sits like a smelter right beside the heat, right beside where all this gold or all this silver is being heated up. On the whole reason it's being heated up is so the dross can come out, the things that are contaminated comes up to the top and it can be scraped off. So the gold can become pure. And then when he looks in, he sees his reflection. Why? Because he's showing us how to. But see, the thing is that he sits beside it. He doesn't turn the heat up and walk off. Have you ever had the heat turned up in your life? Rest assured that he's still looking. He's still sitting right beside that thermostat. And he knows if it needs to be a little hotter or if it needs to turn down. He never leaves it. Why? Because he's always looking in the depth of who you are. And if it needs to be a little hotter, he'll turn it up. And we feel the heat coming in our life. And all he's doing is drawing all that dross, all that stuff that's contaminated, and brings it up to the surface so that he can remove it. See, are y'all okay with that? Ladies, how many times have you put a pot of something? By the way, I got to say something about that. A pot of something on the stove, and then you walked off. And suddenly, you know something. What do you know? And how do you know it? Let me ask you, how do you know it? What? Smell. Something doesn't smell right. I believe those beans have a little bit too much heat. And you have to go back and turn it down. See, but God doesn't do that. God sits beside it. He never leaves it. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. By the way, let me pause just for a moment. How many of you are prophetic people? You feel like you have a prophetic vein inside you. Okay, that's fine. One of our dancers came up and said, I think I'm supposed to tell you this. I don't know what it means. You know, like, what am I supposed to do with it? You don't know what it means. Anyway, she said, I've been smelling for a few days, and I smell it strong today. I smell English peas cooking in butter. Now, for you prophetic people, what does that mean? It means she needs to go to the doctor and get her nose fixed or something. What does that mean? What do you think that means? English peas cooking in butter. And that's what she smells. Wow. What is that? Has any of you asked the Lord yet? Okay. Don't try to figure it out. Ask him and let him tell you. Yeah. There's something what?
There's something tasty.
Something very tasty for you. Sounds good to me. Yes, ma'am. I didn't hear you.
Comforting.
Yeah. So there's a comforting thing. Anything else? Yeah. Let me get back here. It's properly seasoned, and does everybody like butter? Yeah, everybody like butter. That's good. Everything's better with butter. Okay. So here's and I agree with all of you. I do, because like I said, there's an interpretation, but there's many applications. Here's what I heard when she told me that. Here's what I heard. See, a pea is a very small, very small, very small. So he takes the very small things, and with his presence, he can awaken the flavor of something that looks insignificant. So what do you think he's doing with us? See, he's buttering us. He's lathering the butter on us. See, I'm in agreement with that. I'm in agreement with that. Take something very small. He puts heat to it. And then the butter of his presence awakens who we are. Boy, I like that, you know. Okay, I'm going to go back over here and say, all right, I'm taking it off a pause and say, play. All right, so now we get back to this other stuff. But I forgot to do it. I don't mind doing that, because to me it's not something that is disruptive. Because I do think that he wants to, we see ourselves as so insignificant, so little. We see, we can't do that. I can't do that. But with his presence being saturated and smothered with his presence, we begin to be awakened to the very purpose of why we showed up. His purpose. Because we have a predestined image that we're being conformed into. And then we're going to be able to do whatever he sent us to, where he sent us to be able to do it. But see, with food, what are we supposed to do with food? Before we eat, what do? We eat. Well, yeah, we do. What do we do before we eat? You know, I know a person that they every time they go to the grocery store, and when they check it out, everything, they lay hands on their buggy because they're rolling it out to the car, lay hands on the buggy. I give you thanks for all this food. And I said, why do you do that? And he said, so when I cook, I don't have to do it again. I'm like, to each his own. No, so he says to give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. So we may be small, we may look insignificant, but with God's presence, just being saturated in his presence, whatever he wants us to do, we'll be able to accomplish. Because we're being conformed to his image, not the image of a denomination, not the image of a man, but of Jesus, the image of Jesus, the Son of God. So we get to this point to where we have all of this that's going on in this chapter. I mean, in this chapter and verse. And he goes on and he says, who, if God is for you, who can be against you? Why is he saying that? Because we'll go through things that will appear that somebody's against us. They may be mistreating us. They may have done something to us or something. Or the enemy already, you know, is against you. He said, but God be for you, who can be against you? That's the reason this thing of knowing and seeing and experiencing his turning of the bad things in our life. The enemy meant it for evil, but God will do what? Use it for the... Let me say this. Everything in your life is useful to God. Even when we don't do things right, it'll be useful for God, because he'll bring it to your attention and he'll change things around to see you as you really are. See, the greater awareness that we have of this truth, the more we'll be in position to give thanks in everything. The more, the greater awareness that no matter what comes in my life, he's going to use it for my benefit. The more I'll be able to give him thanks in it. Because when I'm able to give thanks in it, I don't have self-reliance. I have trust. Without thanksgiving, we will have self-reliance. With thanksgiving, we'll have trust in God. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's happening, that he will make this benefit me. He didn't say it'll be what happened is good. He didn't say that. There's some bad things that happens to all of us, right? But he said, in everything, give thanks to him. Let me share this passage with you. I want to come back and talk to him, whoever that is. I love that kind of talk. I really do. I said, wow. Because you better listen to him. He may be saying something profound. Let me share this with you in John 6, and then we'll sort of wind it up. John chapter 6. Well, let me say this. You remember Jesus on the night that he was betrayed? That he took, you have to listen to this, that he took the bread and he took the wine, and the Bible said on the night that he was betrayed. He discipled 12 men, but one had another way of doing things, and it wasn't the Lord's way. He wanted things to benefit him more than they were benefiting him. So Judas sells Jesus of where he is and who he is. He sells him for a price. He sells his identity. And on the very night, Jesus knows this. And on the very night that he was betrayed, think of this. He knows what's going to happen. He knows there's a cross in front of him. Even in the midst of knowing that this thing is difficult, he takes the bread and he lifts it up. And he breaks it. And what does he do? He gives thanks. In the midst of betrayal, right before his betrayal. Well, matter of fact, he's already betrayed him. Judas is getting the money. In the midst of betrayal, he gives thanks. He wasn't thanking God, his Father, for the betrayal. He was giving him thanks in the midst of his betrayal. I thank you. And no matter what I go through, you're going to make this benefit. This is going to be a beneficial. Y'all hear me? See, he does that in the midst of his betrayal. So when we're betrayed and when we're turned against, some people are turning on, in the midst of that, we should give thanks to God. Not for that, but in the midst of it, we should, Lord, I don't know why it is they talk about me the way they talk about me, and it's not true. But I give you thanks. Because what was the early thing that we said to do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you are bigger than this. You're bigger than this. Thank you that you're bigger than this. And whatever this is, I know that you're going to turn it to benefit me. At the place where they got 5,000 people, and here they are, 5,000 people that needs to be fed. It's in John 6, and Jesus said, well, where's the food? And the guys don't have any food. Then they said, man, it's too much money for us to go buy the food. We don't have it. The little boy shows up, and what does he have? Come on, talk to me. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And they bring him to Jesus, and Andrew, one of the disciples, says, but what is this? Because there's so many. What are these? What is he saying? It's not enough. It's not enough. Maybe what you have is just that little pea. It's not enough. Some of you may be there today. It's not enough. But Jesus takes what's not enough. I won't use the offering plate. He takes what's not enough. This is not enough. So Jesus is holding in his hand not enough. He's got the fish and he's got the loaf. And it's what? Talk loud to me. Say it louder. It's not enough. You may have lack in your life right now, and what you have is not enough. It may be money, it may be whatever else, but it's not enough. So Jesus holds not enough in his hands. And what does he do? He breaks the bread. Here's the thing about it. He tells the disciples, sit them down. He didn't say, let's get ready to move on. He said, sit them down. Somebody run to the Ingles real quick. No, they done thought of that. And they said, we don't have enough money to feed all these people. So he holds not enough. And he gives thanks for what he does have. He lifts it up, he gives thanks for what he does have. It's not enough, but he gives thanks for what he does have. And then the Bible said, then he begins to break off the bread and distribute it. So not enough with a thankful heart. And giving thanksgiving begins to multiply because you've given thanks to God, and what God has done has turned not enough into being more than enough. Matter of fact, there's 12 baskets full that's left over. Why is that? He gave thanks for what he did have. I don't know what is not enough in your life, but if you'll give thanks for what you do have. You're opening the door for his presence to move on what you do have because you're grateful for what the little you have. I know that'll bother you, so I'll turn it over. So here's where we are, even today. Some of you in your families, you have something in your life that's not enough. And what I want you to do, we've got just a few minutes here. What I want to do is this. Here's something. Paul and Silas is thrown in prison, the darkest of prisons. They don't see any way out. Nothing. No way out. They can't get out. They're guarded heavily. They're in chains. They're in stocks and bonds. It's like, here, oh, help. this, and in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their, what do we do? What do they start doing? In the darkest part, the midnight of their hour, what do? They start praising and they start singing. And in that word praise, it means they're giving thanks in their song. So they're giving thanks, they're praising God, and they're singing. Then what happens? The jail shakes. I heard a preacher say one time, I was in the sermon, he said this. He said, Elvis sang about the jailhouse rock, but it was God who did it. So the jailhouse, and then chains fall off, doors start coming out, flying open. Why? The thanksgiving. Giving thanks, recognizing God in the midst of their darkest hour. So I don't know, there may be families here today that you have dark hours and you have not enough. And I honestly believe that the sweet aroma, that the insignificant that you have, God is saying, if you'll just thank me genuinely, it is not just saying thank you, it's with a heart of gratitude that you're grateful for what you do have. Then that opens the door for God to move. Amen. So the sweet smell of the aroma of the Lord. We and I agree with that. But we are the aroma. We should be the aroma of Jesus. When people get around us, they ought to smell something, Nancy. They ought to smell the sweet aroma of Jesus' presence. But here's where we are. If your family, and I say your family, if your family is you're in that place of not enough, or you're in that place of it's dark and I don't see a way out, I want you to stand up with your family, with your family. So if that's you, just stand up. All right, now here with your family. Now what I want you to do is just find a spot. Just go find a spot in the sanctuary real quick. Don't delay, just move. Both of you, all of you, get with your family and get in a spot right down anywhere. Just move. You have to move from where you are. Pastor Charlie or one of you guys, come up. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you right now to start to thank God. Now, if you don't have a family with you, you don't have family, or you're with them, okay. See, this is the time where you get to thank God for what you do have. And then here's the thing. You can thank him in the midst of not having enough. You can thank him in the midst of it being the darkest hour in your family or something you need more than what you have. You need more than what you have. And I'm not talking about being greedy, but there's something that God is wanting to do in your life today. So I want each one of you to begin to rejoice with joy. Be happy where you are with the joy of the Lord. Thank him for what you do have. And tell him today, thank you, Jesus. For you are bigger than this. Hold your not enough up to him. And thank him for touching you. you're not enough. Begin to pray and begin to give him thanks in the middle of where you are. There's a song that says, the passage says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That word "bless" is barak. That is where you kneel. You bless him with your kneeling, with your humility, and you humble yourself and kneel before him. And it says, "Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Forget none of them." So you kneel before the Lord and you bless his name, that he is your provider. He is everything that you need. It talks about that he's forgiven your iniquities. He's forgiven you of all your sin, and he's healed all your diseases. But see, in the psalm is telling himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So he's telling himself, "Bless the Lord. Kneel before the God who gives you everything that you need." Song was referring to earlier. He said, talks about the word gratitude, that song gratitude. And he says, "So don't go shy on me now. Don't get shy on me now. Mind, will, and emotions, don't get shy on me now. Now's the time where I've got to praise God. Now's the time where I've got to thank God. So don't go shy on me now. Because I'm about to let go of a hallelujah, and it doesn't matter who hears it or who sees it." Now, what song do you want them to sing? You lead it. Let them sing. Let them sing that song. Whatever that.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before.
Just bask in his presence. Sing in his presence.
Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
All of us, stand to your feet, and we'll sing with them. Thanks. He forgave you. He cleansed you. He healed you. If there's someone here that you don't really know this man, Jesus, or you're not sure if you know him. See, knowing him and then him knowing you. When he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," doesn't mean he doesn't know who you are. It means he's never had a relationship with you. You've never had one with him. Is there anyone here that wants to have a relationship with Jesus? You don't have it today, but you want it. If that's you, just come forward. thank the Lord. Whatever it is that's on your mind right now to thank Him for, give Him thanks. And whenever you get in that spot, when the human need exceeds your ability to fulfill it, then by faith, take hold of that not enough and give thanks to God for the little that you do have. He will break open the doors. He will take off the chains, and He will begin to fulfill everything that you're thanking Him for. He said, it happened to you for your benefit. I used what happened to you. I used your not enough to work it to your benefit. It will be for your good, and it will be for my glory. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the presence of God. Thank you for that sweet smell of taking what we think is insignificant, and all of a sudden, with your presence, you begin to awaken us to who we really are in you. We love you. We worship you. And we honor you with our life. Y'all okay? Oh, you're better than okay. Amen. Well, I'm great. I'm like Tony the Tiger. I'm out of the box. I'm a little bit flaky. But I'm real sweet. You have to ask Brenda about the sweet part. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Take this word that's from the Lord and just let it saturate inside you. And let it be known throughout your influence. Whoever you got influence with, let it be known by others that you're a Jesus follower. Not just a Christian, but a Jesus follower. Amen. 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 God bless y'all. You're at liberty to go. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.